dawn of the Viking Age, the family farm was the basic economic unit of Norse life. As farmers and herdsmen, they planted grains and vegetables during the short growing seasons and relied heavily on livestock. But peace in the Northland was coming to an end. The expanding Viking population needed more fertile farmland, and tensions boiled over. Inevitably, violence flared between the Viking clans. As the stronger attacked the weaker, raiders fell on farmers with axes, swords, and brutal violence. Land feuds erupted with utter lawlessness.
Basically, a king was a man who had a big farm. And he had his bonders, his farmers, and his slaves. And whenever he felt like going and attacking somebody else, he just got all his guys together and went off and attacked them. The Vikings would run into the village, grab everything they could, take off again. It's not terribly sophisticated, but very effective.
Some Vikings, however, set aside their differences and prepared to seek their fortunes elsewhere. Tools that once shaped the crossbeams of barns turned to another task. Along the shores of the northern inlets, boats were built. Boats that changed the lives of these people. Viking longships. These extraordinary vessels, revolutionary in design, took history on a new course and launched an onslaught that dominated Europe and beyond for the next 3 centuries.
300 years, that's a long time, boys and girls. Let me turn my microphone around here so you can hear me. 300 years, this country, this particular institution is not going to last that long. It's going to break up. Yeah. And I'm for it. At least go back to the states, but it'll probably break down to even smaller political and racial enclaves. No nation can last that's built on miscegenation, race mixing, and the worship of just the dollar or whatever the currency is. Can't happen. Can't last. And I'm personally hoping that the bitch will help us out and speed it up. Yeah, you're not going to hear that from the right-wing conservatives or any of the right-wing racists that I know of. If you do, let me know. Because I'm saying, hey, Hillary, bitch, do the number for us. Tear it apart. Break it down. Divide it up. And we'll be doing better in the long run, at least racially. Once in a while, I get an email about somebody will ask me questions like, how come you're not like these other so-called right-wingers that say they're racist? And I say, well, I went a different path. I left the right wing, the official right wing, whatever that is, and I went a new path. I'm not right wing. I'm not left wing. I'm simply a white racist, lone wolf, promoting a new way to go. That's it. You can tune into all these other guys with these right wing racialist sites, and they may talk about race, and they may wail and cry about the Jews, but in reality, they only scratch the surface of the problem. That's why you'll see the information I put on my website is far different than you'll see on the normal so-called right wing. So, and you got to listen to the show and listen to the programs carefully, because most of the things I say, most of the right wingers would not be caught dead. Even the so-called extreme right wing, they were not like that Metzger. We're not like that guy. He's crazy. He's talking revolution and rebellion and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, he's talking crazy, man. We can't go that way. We might get hurt. Well, let me tell you, all you right-wing leaders, you're screwed in no matter which way you go. So you might as well get with the real program of survival and resistance and rebellion. So I'm going to be sitting on my front row seat on election night, cheering the bitch on. Come on, bitch. Break it down. Wipe it out. We'll build something new. The conservative right-wing people, they're not going to do that. They talk and talk and talk, and Trump talks and talks and talks, and he talks, sounds pretty good to the right wing, but he's not going to do it, and he's not going to be a president either, unless I'm totally screwed up. He was never meant to win. It was started out, I think, more of a joke than anything else, but the more serious it got, the more the big shots and the system and the big newspapers and media all came down on him, because he might get away from them. But even if he got away from them, he wants a bigger military, more atomic bombs. If they don't like it, we'll bomb them and all that kind of stuff. So that's not my way. That's not my way. Well, the thinking French, and I'm sure there are a few, have come out about Hillary Clinton, and the Jews are getting all excited over there in France. They always get excited in France. The CRIF, which must be a Jewish outfit, asks exemplary punishment against Jean-Frédéric Poisson after his remarks about Hillary Clinton and the Zionist lobbies. Whoa. There are no Zionist lobbies? Tell me there's no Zionist lobbies. Look in a New York phone book. Jean-Frédéric Poisson said in Nice, Matin, proximity to Clinton with super financiers, Wall Street, and submission to Zionist lobbies are dangerous for Europe and France, unquote. CRIF denounces the nauseating about, quote, I'm just saying that Hillary Clinton is related to both, then responded the candidate for the primary right. Well, there's one right-winger that's hitting a nail on the head. The Representative Council of Jewish Institutions in France requested Thursday, October 20th, in a statement to the high authority of the primary right, firm condemnation of about abject of Jean-Frédéric Poisson, held in Nice, Matin. He asked exemplary punishment. The candidate for the primary spoke in the October 19th edition of the regional daily. Yes. In the statement, the CRIF denounces about nauseating and request to the 14 members of the organization of the Primary Commission of the Right and Center to make an exemplary punishment to the seriousness of these allegations under free speech. The president of the CRIF, this Jewish outfit, Francis Califat, believes, quote, that beyond their insidiously anti-Semitic nature, these statements fall under the conspiracy theories that are known to have the goodwill of the most violent extremists, unquote. Well, several million extremists can't all be wrong. Quote, Jean-Frédéric Poisson placed himself outside the framework of the primary right and center. Oh, wow. Just for free speech? It is installed alongside and Alain Sorrell and the Duodoni, these wife, unquote, is written in a statement. Then he comes back and says, quote, there is no conspiracy theory of species in my words, unquote. Well, what if there was? So what? There's conspiracies going on all the time. Whenever two people come together to commit an illegal act or anything else, it's conspiracy. The primary, let's see, what else did he say? Well, I won't go on with this because some of it I don't understand. But anyhow, some of the Frenchmen are standing up too. So there you go. And they don't like Hillary, but we want Hillary in because Hillary's going to fuck the whole thing up really, really good. Now, we can dribble on for decades and decades, and it's just going to be a slow death, or we can have it come fast. I prefer fast, don't you? And nobody can bring it on faster than Hillary. I want all you right-wing boys to call David Duke and all these guys and that are leading all this stuff and encourage them to vote for or encourage them to support Hillary Clinton. Yeah, not Donald Trump, because he's going to be too little too late, even if he were genuine. So I'm sorry, boys. I know I'll lose half of my supporters, but I'm going to say it the way I see it. So you call up Duke and say, Metzger says support Hillary Clinton because she's going to bring this son of a bitch down fast, or at least much faster than the other guys. And then tell me what that boy says, if you can get him out of the plastic surgery seat for a while. You know, if he came out and supported Hillary, he might win that race he said down there in Louisiana. Maybe. Well, a flood of anti-Jewish hate speech targeting Jewish journalists on Twitter rose with the political fortunes of GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump. A report released Wednesday by the Anti-Defamation League does not directly indict Trump for this upswing in anti-Semitism. Well, it shouldn't. He's surrounded by Jews. What are you talking about? But it explicitly connects some of his supporters to the hate speech. Wow. That's serious. The spike in hate we've seen online this election season is extremely troubling and unlike anything we've been seeing in modern politics, said ADL-CIO Jonathan Greenblatt. Well, I think most of that hatred has come from the press directed at Trump. I've never seen so much hatred directed at a political candidate as Trump. Well, it's okay when it's the so-called leftists, the pretentious left. It's okay for them to do that. They can hate all they want. Boy, oh boy. But don't you dare dish it back at them. Quote, a half century ago, the KKK burned crosses. So, what's the big deal? I've burned crosses. Nobody got hurt. Today, extremists are burning up Twitter. Oh, that's cute. That's cute. The ADL found that 2.6 million anti-Jew, not Semitic, that's not including the Arabs, they're Semitic, with an estimated reach of 10 billion impressions on Twitter, were posted on the popular social media platform between August 2015 and July 2016. You know, Jews they just can't get a break, these poor Jews. Within this group of tweets, the task force focused on 19,253, though the ADL says the actual number could be much higher, directed at 800 Jewish journalists. Two-thirds of these tweets came from 1,600 Twitter accounts. The top 10 most targeted journalists, all Jewish, received 83% of those 19,253 tweets. Among them, The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg, The New York Times author Jonathan Weizmann, and CNN's Sally Cohn and Jake Tapper. Yair Rosenberg, a writer for the Tablet magazine, which covers the Jewish news and culture, also made the top 10 list and praised the ADL report for bringing attention to the wave of anti-Jew targeting Jewish journalists. That reminds me, do you know this Adelson out there, is the big gambling guy? Well, he bought a newspaper in Israel, and it's the biggest newspaper in Israel, and he gives it away free. And obviously it's a right-wing Jew paper supporting Arabs are all bad, Jews are all good, so forth. It's interesting that actually a foreign national is putting out one of the biggest newspapers in Israel free. Quote, I was getting this stuff before the election. Obviously, it's intensified. Rosenberg said, there's a bunch of very vocal alt-right nationalists. Of course, how come they never talk about all the anti-Jew, anti-Israel left? I mean, the left is full of them. They never say that. And then he says the neo-Nazi, whatever definition you prefer. Well, what is a neo-Nazi? A new Nazi? I think most of them try to act like old Nazis. I don't see many new Nazis around. I would like a new Nazi situation, which makes sense and gets someplace instead of being stupidly walking around with swastika flags and brown shirts in the streets to get tomatoes thrown at you. Anyhow, that goes particularly berserk when Jews criticize Donald Trump. Well, the right wing have latched on to Donald Trump as their, what are you going to call it, their new Hitler, new Adolf, which is obviously nowhere close to the truth. Some tweets are viciously and threateningly anti-Jew. Well, that's called free speech, Jaime. You use these articles to write books and everything else, how horrible racists are, and how horrible people who criticize Jews are, so you're getting it back, Jaime. If you don't like it, I don't know where I would say to go back to. I don't want them to go anyplace. I just want them to go away. Rosenberg sometimes responds to less violent ones with humor, as he did when one Twitter user repeated the common anti-Jew trope that Jews control the media. No, I don't say that. Bad people control the media. Filthy, corrupt, bad people. And there's Jews in that bunch. But the majority of people who are rats are white people. White Christians, white, those kind of people. And a lot of people would like to say it's just the Jews. Well, that's not fair. And the right wing are hypocrites about that, because over two-thirds, maybe 85% of all the anti-white activity and corruption is carried on by whites. It's carried on by whites. How about that? And, as have other Jewish journalists, Rosenberg has surrounded his name online with triple parentheses, co-opting an anti-Jew code popular among white nationalists used to identify someone as Jewish. I think I've reprinted a couple of this guy's articles, which I thought were pretty good. I'm not bound by any absolute strict code except to save the white race and do it good. If a Jew writes an article that's the truth and I agree with it, I'm not afraid to print it. That's where the right wing makes a big mistake. Over this noted rise in anti-Jewism on Twitter and attacks on Jewish journalists in particular, the ADL in June formed its task force on harassment and journalism, which includes journalists, deans of well-respected journalism schools, and experts on hate speech. Well, they're well-respected because they kiss the ass of the Zionists and the top Jews, not the working class Jews. They don't give a shit about the working class Jews anymore now than they did back in World War II. The task force report found that 1,600 offending Twitter users often identified themselves as white, supporters of Trump, conservative, and alt-right. far-right wingers, some of whom are white supremacists. The task force emphasized that it's not implying that Trump or his campaign endorses tweets from these accounts, only that certain self-styled supporters sent these ugly messages. Wow. That kind of free speech cannot be allowed. But Trump and his campaign have done little to dissuade his followers from such behavior. Well, he could spend all of his time doing that. And Trump himself has been accused of trafficking in anti-Semitic tropes. That's pretty interesting because his business is full of Jews. His family now has got Jews in it. Among the most well-publicized examples online onslaught against Jewish journalists were the death threats and a torrent of anti-Jew abuse on Twitter that Julia Ioffe received from Trump supporters after she published a profile of his wife in Vanity Fair in April. One superimposed Loft's head on the uniform of a concentration camp inmate. Wow, this is really getting terrible. The world's falling apart. Military-industrial complex, including Jews, are occupying countries all over the world, especially in the Middle East, bombing the shit out of them, committing genocide on men, women, and children, and destroying their homes and cities. But we got time to worry about somebody that offended a Jew. Well, I put a note on that particular website on comments under Tom Metzger. I have changed my mind and I am supporting Hillary. Why? Because there are more left-wing anti-Semites in her camp than in the right wing. Plus, with Hillary as president, she will bring down this corrupt mess and we can start all over. I wonder if I'll get any replies on that one. The next message on here was Trump, who is the chosen one for channeling every form of hate and bigotry that is alive and well in these United States, would deny, of course, that he is anti-Jew. Just as he denies after being caught in a locker room banter of grabbing girls by the woo-woo, denies he's an anti-woman, but as the Christian scriptures reminds us, this is from a reverend, it is by the fruits that one's actions and reveals the truth, not the rhetoric. Well, how about all that sex stuff going on in churches? You watch the TV, there's more parishioners killing other people over women and stuff in these churches, and all the pedophile and everything else. Far more than anything Trump could have ever done. The people who hate Jews are the same thick, grizzled, so-called conservatives who hate black folks, Native Americans, Mongols, Asians, Hispanics, and anyone who is not a reproduction of themselves. Well, I like a reproduction of myself. What the hell's the matter with you? These are the people who celebrate the Wounded Knee Massacre. I don't. I never did. They should have never been here, or we should have driven them clear out of North America because they're Mongols. They have a country. It's called Mongolia. They celebrated the birth of the KKK. Well, that was a good thing. And separate but equal. No, separate and not equal. And out of sight, out of mind. Just to mention a few who worship the golden calf in all his greed and oppression. Well, I think that fits a lot of Jews and a lot of Christians too, especially preachers. They don't have to work for their money. They just peddle this fake Jesus story and collect the money. Lastly, it is interesting that the charge of a Jewish conspiracy is right out of Nazi propaganda book. That doesn't mean it's not true, buddy, just because it's out of the Nazi propaganda book. It was around long before the Nazis' propaganda book talked about it. If you hate the Jews or anyone for that matter, you are a bigot and a servant of the devil. Well, it shows you how middle. You really believe there's a devil? The Christians created the whole idea of the devil. Unbelievable. that somebody still believes in the devil. Jeez. How archaic. Here's another response, not bad. Doing some postgraduate work at Stanford a few years ago, I learned that when occurrences happen together, it's really naive to conclude that one caused the other. I'm betting these thin-skinned Jewish journalists are just seeing the natural effects of individuals being set free from political correctness by the Trump rise. This gives them license to be more outspoken about groups who've been flying under the radar pushing their cause. Wow. Here's another response. You know, if Zionists were not trying to steal Palestine away from the Palestinians, if Zionists were not actively at race war putting European Jewish convert descendants against real Semitic peoples, anti-Semitism claims might be believable, but not from Zionist Jews attacking real Semitic people. Here's another one. The Jews were hated unfairly long before 1947, of course, with no cause, no reason. They were just hated. I have plenty of criticism towards the nation of Israel for its dealings with the Palestinians, but I have no animosity for the Jewish religion or hatred of individuals who are Jewish. You can't see the difference. A non-Jew using the term Zionist is a sure sign of a bigot. There. That's from Jimmy Boy. Do you like to know what some of these Hollywood people make and what their net worth is? Here you go, baby. Here you go. George Clooney, estimated $250 million for acting like somebody else that he can't be. Gisele Bündchen, the Brazilian supermodel and wife of New England's Patriots QB Tom Brady, is worth $360 million. Wow. Angelina Jolie has always been a hard-working actress. She's worth $160 million. But now that she's going to take Tom Cruise, whatever husband's name was, she's going to take him to the cleaners, she'll be worth about $300 or $400 million. Julia Roberts has a $1 million smile, or should we say a $170 million smile. Pretty good for a gal who started out riding around Hollywood on a biker gang motorcycle. I know people who knew her way back. The man responsible for Game of Thrones makes an estimated $15 million per year and is worth reportedly $65 million. He has another highly anticipated book in the works, so he'll be even richer. Don't worry, Hillary will tax all that away. Johnny Depp, how about that? Estimated $400 million. And most of these people are liberals, and they're always crying about the downtrodden and the poor worldwide. How much money have they given out of these big pocketbooks? I don't think very much. We're getting into the big league. Steven Spielberg, Mr. Kike with a non-black son that he adopted. Yeah, he's up to $3.7 billion, and he hasn't shared much with the third world. Or even American niggers. I don't think he's given any money to them. Robert De Niro, well, he's a pretty good actor, but he's no good at choosing women because he's always chosen black women. He's worth $200 million, and guess what? When he dies, probably some coon-ass woman's going to get the money. John Travolta, he's worth $170 million. Well, he's worked hard, sure, playing people that he can never be. I think that's why so many movie stars commit suicide and take drugs until they die, because they can't be the people they play, and it drives them crazy. Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, $400 million he's got, and he won it all by pretending to be a prize fighter. You can make a fortune pretending you're somebody else. Fresh Prince is worth a lot, like an estimated $260 million, and he pleads for the terrible shape the black people are in Chicago and so forth. It's terrible. We need more money from the government. Well, why don't you give him some of your $260 million? They can buy some new guns. Or give half of it to the black KKK. I'm shocked. Denzel Washington's only got $200 million in the bank. How about that? I expected him to have a whole lot more. Here's one that was made rich by white people all the way down the line. Yeah, she got 85% of her money from white people. Oprah Winfrey, she's worth an estimated $3.2 billion, and white people gave most of it to her, so white people quit crying. Robert Redford, he's got, $180 million? Not too bad. Harrison Ford's worth $210 million. Wow. Sean Connery is sitting on $350 million, playing people he could never be. I'm not very familiar with this guy. Ryan Seacrest is the host with the most, in more ways than one, his work on American Idol, his morning radio shows and specials like New Year's Rockin'. Well, he's sitting on $330 million. He's got a big smile on his face on my computer. Michael Douglas, $300 million. Dr. Phil, who Oprah Winfrey made him famous, he's got $300 million in the bank. Well, Michael Phelps, the Olympian, he's not doing so good. Maybe it's because he's Jewish. It's anti-Semitism, that's what it is. $55 million in his bank account. Robert Downey Jr., $220 million in his bank account. You'll have to figure out which one of these people are Jewish, because I always get all teared up when I see all these actors that are making millions of dollars crying and crying about anti-Semitism. Jessica Alba, another non-white mix, octroon, 1.7, wait a minute, Honest Company, she started, is worth an estimated $1.7 billion, and Alba's worth $350 million. Well, she's part of the oppressed. Oh, Jimmy Fallon's only got $35 million. That's a crock. Andra Bullock has $200 million. How about that? Probably because of anti-woman stuff that she's only got $200 million. If she didn't have to fight all this anti-woman stuff, she'd probably have $400 million, right? Right. Well, at last I found a good racist. Mel Gibson, how about that? The Jews got really pissed off at him. He criticized Jews. $425 million. Well, I'm glad to see that a white racist has got that much money. Sure wish he'd share a little bit with his buddies. The Wahlbergs got about $225 million, which is pretty good. Muhammad Ali was and remains the undisputed greatest of all time, which is bullshit. Rocky Marciano and a whole lot of white guys were just as good. He just had a lot of more Jewish support. Well, he's estimated his fortune was from $50 million to $80 million because there was a lot of racism against him. If there hadn't been so many racists, he probably would have had $200 million because he's the greatest of all time. Forget Rocky Marciano. Oh, yeah. Here's a guy I really don't like. He's not a bad actor, but I don't like this guy. Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. Supposedly got $170 million under his mattress. Now here's that world-renowned neo-Nazi racist bigot son of a bitch. The right wing's a big hero. Too bad a lot of the stuff he says isn't true. But he's got $4.5 billion, supposedly. He says it's closer to $10 billion. And I wonder if he's given any of that to David Duke. I'm sure David Duke was trying to get it. Bruce Willis, he's sitting on $180 million. I knew it. They'd have to put a Chink Chink Chinaman in here. Martial arts master actor Jackie Chan made a lot of goofball movies. He's sitting on $300 million. That'll buy a lot of fortune cookies. He hasn't got quite so much now. He's just dropped $20 million on a private jet. Just the way this is written up on Bill Cosby. Comedian, actor, and educator Bill Cosby has had some legal problems in recent years. Some recent years. They're big problems, but he still has a pretty sizable fortune in his name of $400 million. And he got to screw and dope up the white girls, too. What a deal. He's the one all the conservatives worshipped years ago in his films and TV shows. Yeah, as being looking up to as the number one American father and husband. How stupid could you be? Brad Pitt has $240 million, but it's only going to be about $10 million by the time Mrs. Pitt gets all done with him. Manu Reeves, he's got $350 million under his mattress. You know, most of these guys are small, little in stature. The reason they are is because Hollywood found out years ago that it was cheaper to make a movie with a short actor than with a tall actor. So they set about setting up their shots in the movies for short guys. Saved the Jews in Hollywood a lot of money. Well, there's a whole bunch more, but I'm getting tired of this crap of seeing all these wonderful liberals. Most of them are liberals. In fact, all of them are probably liberals. Except Trump. He's an anti-Semite. How Jews and other sleazy Aryans take the money from the black boys when they play basketball. The greatest of them all are strong enough to go through all the obstacles that are in front of them just to live the dream of becoming a basketball superstar. But some of them are not so lucky. Some players live the dream a little too long and don't manage their money right. These players went from hero to zero in just a few short years after retiring. A scary fact is that over 60% of NBA players reportedly go broke within 5 years of retirement. I'm not going to show you the list. It's a long list of these guys. And, you know, it's like the joke. Well, I don't have time for that joke, but there's so many Jewish handlers and accountants, along with sleazy Aryan whites, that have screwed these guys because they're too stupid to count their money, and they trust these Jews to handle their money, or they get some white gal, marry her, and she takes all his money. It's hilarious, man. It's hilarious. I wonder why some of these guys, these black guys that got screwed and they were big-time players and they go broke because of people advocating they invest money where they shouldn't invest or some crappy woman. How come they don't kill them? Why don't these black guys that go down to zero, why don't they just go out and find these Jew accountants and blow their heads off? I don't remember ever reading about one that did it. So I guess they like it. Here's a message in rebuttal, or a message talking about these guys. First, surprised to see how much Dennis Rodman made compared to the others, and yet still don't feel much sympathy at all for what these dummies lost. They could probably coach and still make more money than the average person. Is there a Trump effect on public morality? Wow. Let's see what this has got to say. Yeah. Americans and white evangelical Christians in particular have often distinguished themselves from their cynical old world cousins by maintaining a high bar for personal moral behavior of their elected officials. It's always been phony, though, that's for sure. They also tended to link such rectitude to the ability to carry out their public duties effectively. But whether it is ugly language and behavior often displayed by the Republican candidate Donald Trump, who grabbed a couple of women by their asses and now he's paying for it, or some other factor, U.S. voters, especially those same evangelicals, appear to have vanquished their inner Puritan and are now far more accepting of sinning politicians. Well, they've always been, but they've kept it undercover, all the pedophilia and all that kind of stuff. That's the upshot of a survey released Wednesday, October 19th, showing 61% of Americans now say that immoral personal behavior does not preclude public officials from carrying out their public or professional duties with honesty and integrity. Unquote. Oh, in 2011, only 44% of the Americans said the same thing. Yet what's most notable in the survey by the Public Religion Research Institute and the Brookings Institute, boy, they would never lie, is that white evangelical Protestants have shifted their views more dramatically than any other group. Of course, he's not talking about the Jews. Today, the survey shows 72% of white evangelicals say an elected official can behave ethically even if they have committed transgressions in their personal life. Well, that's their religion. They're supposed to be forgiven. Just forgive me. God forgive me. Okay, you're forgiven. A 42-point jump from 2011 when only 30% agreed with that statement. Wow. The data also show that those same conservative Christians, pseudo-Jews, viewed as the core constituency for the Republican Party, continued to give strong backing to Trump, with nearly 7 out of 10 of them saying that they will vote for the GOP nominee over his Democratic rival, Hillary Clinton. I guess he grabbed fewer asses than Hillary Clinton did. Clinton herself has received low marks for honesty and trustworthiness. That's putting it mildly, baby. From voters, as she has had to answer ongoing questions about her use of a personal email account while she was Secretary of State and the funding of private charitable foundations she started with her husband. They go lightly on that, don't they? She's also been dogged by questions about the propriety of earning huge speaking fees from various groups, among other things, like ripping off the whole nation of Haiti. I think it was her cousin, or Bill's cousin, that ripped off a big deal down in Haiti. But the striking fact about the latest poll, which also gives Clinton a huge 51-36 point advantage among likely voters ahead of tonight's third and final debate, is the shift in views among the very Christian conservatives who are supporting Trump. Many evangelical critics of Trump have said that there's no way Bible-believing Christians could support the GOP candidate who has been married 3 times. Oh, well, maybe the third time he gets it right. You got to try him out. And bragged about his sexual exploits and penchant for groping women. You know, that word groping is a term I never understood. I never heard it being used growing up or even in my adult life. Groping. I keep asking my gal, what the hell is groping? We used to feel them up, but we never called it groping. Those critics also say that accepting Trump's character flaws undermines the very arguments used against the Democrats, as a former President Bill Clinton, who was blasted by Christian conservatives after revelations that he had an affair with a White House intern. Well, yeah, the Republic has always been the biggest hypocrites. There's no doubt in the world about that. It's unbelievable how hypocritical they are, and that's why they get their tit in the ringer all the time, because they get caught. And they're always Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Oh, I'm not like Donald Trump. I would never grab a woman's butt or her vagina. How do you grab a vagina? I've been trying to figure that out. I thought I knew something about the physical makeup of a woman, but grabbing a vagina seemed to be a little bit of a problem. This is what compromising your convictions for political expediency looks like in a chart. The Christian writer and Trump critic Rachel Held, who isn't a Trump critic, tweeted in response to a new survey. But in a split that could portend long-lasting schism in the old religious right, that's good, other evangelicals are supporting Trump by arguing that Christians need a strong leader who can protect them from secularized trends in American life. We're going to go back to the Middle Ages when they used to kill millions of people, the Christians did. Killed all those pagans, millions of pagans over in the East. We're going back to that. I don't think so. I don't think the Christians got enough guts unless they've got atomic bombs or hundreds of millions and billions of dollars worth of super weapons. Put them in a ring one-to-one and they'd cry their eyes out. Oh boy, the Nazis are back. Once prohibited, indeed unthinkable, the euthanasia of people with mental illnesses or cognitive disorders, including dementia, is now a common occurrence in Belgium and the Netherlands. Well, I think it was a good program myself. This profoundly troubling fact of modern European life is confirmed by the latest biennial report from Belgium's Federal Commission on the Control and Evaluation of Euthanasia, presented to Parliament on October 7th. I knew we'd get back to National Socialism sooner or later. Belgium legalized euthanasia in 2002 for patients suffering from unbearable, get that, make sure you understand, unbearable from any untreatable medical condition, terminal or non-terminal, including psychiatric ones. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. Why don't you ask all the right-wing racist groups? Ask Mr. Duke what he says about that. And I know he knows it's good, but he will deny it. In the 2014-2015 period, the report says 124 of the 3,950 euthanasia cases in Belgium involve persons diagnosed with a mental and behavioral disorder. Severe. Four more than in previous 2 years. Tiny Belgium's population is only 11.4 million. 124 euthanasias over 2 years. There is equivalent to about 3,500 in the United States. The figure represents a 3.1% of all the 2014-2015 euthanasia cases, and a remarkable 20.8% of the also remarkable 594 non-terminal patients to whom Belgium doctors administered lethal injections in that period. What's wrong with that? If somebody is beyond the pale and they're just sitting around like a vegetable consuming tax money, nothing wrong with that. I think it's very moral. According to my morals, I think it's very moral. What's a bit different about this Belgium report, however, is that it's the first to appear since journalists and psychiatric professionals inside Belgium and outside began to take notice of what's going on and to raise questions about it. Recent newspaper articles and documentaries focused on the cases in which psychiatrists euthanized or offered to euthanize people with mental illness, some still in their 20s or 30s, under dubious circumstances. What you mean, dubious, baby? The guy's climbing up the walls every day. He's shitting on the floor. He's going, blah, 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 blah. In December, 65 Belgian mental health professionals, ethicists, and physicians published a call to ban euthanasia of the mentally fit, mentally ill. Make them live in horror, trapped in a bad body, bad brain. Make it painful because they're suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Seemingly stung by these criticisms, the commission spends two of its report's pages defending the system, explaining that all is well and that no one is being euthanized except in strict accordance with the law. In particular, the regulatory panel chaired by Wim de Stilman, a leading proponent of euthanasia who conducts the procedure himself, defends the one-month waiting period required between the time the mentally ill or otherwise cognitively impaired person puts his or her signature on a written request for death and the time it may be carried out. objections that this is too little time are unfounded. I can see the church prints all over these cases. The report asserts because the information of the true will of the patient is a long process that takes several months for him to spell cat, C-A-T, or dog, D-O-G. Then culminates in the written request. In any case, the waiting time is often longer in practice. Of course, this ignores the essential objection, which is that that's pissing off Jesus Christ and the God and the church. By definition, the mentally ill may be less capable of forming a true will, or at least that their attentions are intrinsically more difficult for a doctor or anyone to establish with the necessary certainty upon which base life or death decision. Well, they're just waiting on the Jesus to do something. You can't do anything until Jesus does it. If he doesn't will it, it don't get done. So just that's what they want to do. Everybody that's all screwed up and even wants to die, they got to wait on Jesus to do it. As the Belgian opponents of the practice put it in their open letter, quote, "We see that some who were first declared incurable eventually abandoned euthanasia because new prospects showed up. In a paradoxical way, this proves that the disease cannot be called incurable." Huh. Obviously, but the commission report breezily responds, illness, especially if it's psychic, should not be an obstacle to making decision on basis of rational reasoning, unquote, subject to a careful physician's approval. I wish they worried as much about young kids that are all screwed up in the head going over to the Middle East and getting their balls blown off. They don't ever worry about that, do they? Premature death, late-term abortion, like 25. They don't worry about that. This regarding a Belgian medical system that over the past 2 years administered lethal injections upon the request of 5 non-terminally ill people with schizophrenia, 5 with autism, 8 with bipolar disorder, 29 with dementia, an increasingly common condition of the aging Western world, as well as 39 with depression, according to the report. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, wait a minute here. I missed that. Increasingly questioned at home, Belgian psychiatrists' participation in the euthanasia of mentally ill has also caught the attention of their international colleagues, many of whom remain committed to the physician's primary role as healer. Well, they don't do too good a job at that either, from the way I look at it, and fear the corrupting potential of any deviation from that, even in the name of patient autonomy, or even sympathy, caring about people. Caring about people is not leaving them linger on in rest homes and all that kind of stuff with tubes in them, taking narcotics to relieve the pain and all the stuff. All these seniors' places are full of people. I used to do some work in them. I used to rent televisions to them in these senior citizens' warehouses. You walk down through there, it's horrible. These people have to live out their life in terrible conditions. The large and influential American Psychiatric Association is preparing a policy which may include declaration that it is unethical for any psychiatrist to participate in euthanasia of a non-terminal patient, according to the officials of that organization. You can't even be free to check out. They're not going to let you. You got to keep living no matter what. The World Psychiatric Association, which is therefore discouraged but not specifically banned psychiatric participation in euthanasia, is planning to revisit the position at its 2017 meeting in Berlin with a view towards toughening it in light of recent events in Belgium and the Netherlands, according to sources familiar with the body's deliberation. Well, that's it for that. Some people that listen to this show may disagree. Well, I agree. That was one of the good parts of National Socialism. And if anybody don't like it, they can kiss my white ass. Forcing people to live with debilitating diseases and horrible situations is the worst form of torture. The worst form of torture. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. If I haven't pissed you off today, wildly and crazily pissed you off, well, tune in tomorrow and I'll make another attempt. This time I'll make it go. I'll make it work. Just tune in tomorrow, Freya's Day.